now have a state budget, which includes provisions, including starting a adult dental benefits program in April of 21. How Senator Rosenwald wants to add any color commentary to that.
Can I just add that we were really excited in the Senate to be able to move forward with the adult benefit, and we were particularly happy to get a little bit of funding to kick it off into the end. So it's not a lot, and it's in the end, but we were really happy with that funding and hope that it survives the next few years. So I'll just leave that there.
Thank you. I'd like to begin just with a couple of comments, and then you know, the commission wanted to, there are people who are on the task force sitting around the table here, but we want to at every meeting for the chance for people in the audience to be able to participate in some form. So let me open with these remarks, and we can do introductions. So the commissioner's perspective on this is that there's no preconceived notion of what this is look like. This is the legislation talks about that other than on a value-based platform, meaning that it wouldn't be on a fee-for-service basis, that's really the only real starting point. Wants to make sure that our provider community, particularly the dentists, have good involvement in here. We obviously need to look at various benefit designs, and various payment models, and administrative structure. We're looking for something that, at the end of the day, that is designed that the provider community will participate in and make available to our adult Medicaid beneficiaries. So I think that probably kicks us off. We're trying to just get the, sometimes in healthcare we talked about getting things at the right, the three rights, right time, right place, right care. I think we want to try to get the right model so we can provide the right care at the right time, right place in terms of a dental benefit for adults in the state of New Hampshire. And this is really a pretty historic opportunity to do something that's long needed. Maybe Senator Rosenwald, we could start with you. If people could also say who they're representing. I know you're representing the legislative.
Well, I'm Cindy Rosenwald. I'm Senate District 13, which is most of Nashua. And I spent a long time in the House, both on Health and Human Services and on Finance. So this is an area I'm very interested in, and I'm happy to be part of this. Can't stay very long, but I'm happy to be here.
I'm Steve Hoffman. I'm an executive director of Dental Health Works in Keene. I'm a dentist. We're an independent nonprofit that does dental treatment for the people in our region, and we probably are the only ones that work comprehensively with the population.
I'm Ed Shunshan, the CEO of Amanusic Community Health Services. We're accredited qualified health center. In the North Country, above the Notches in Wilmington. In New Hampshire, we have a five operatory, relatively small fixed site. In addition to being the CEO there, I come with a board perspective of the North Country Health Consortium. I'm on a board of trustees of the Critical Access Hospital, and I'm on my state private association's board. And that pretty much takes up 8,760 hours of my life. This is great to be here. I think this is a very exciting opportunity.
I'm Erica Bonwell. I'm Vice President and General Counsel at Northeast Delta Dental, and we're a 501c4 not-for-profit dental insurance company, which you all know.
My name is Amy Gerard, and I'm here representing MCAC, and I'm Lisa DiMartino's alternate, so I'll be sitting in today, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Hi, Christine Starr with Bi-State Primary Care Association. We represent community health centers across the state, including Amanusic. I am very happy that we're finally here to talk about what a dental benefit will look like, and I hope that it somehow touches on all parts of the body and not just the mouth. So we're very excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm Sarah Finney. I'm the Medicaid Dental Director. I've also been a practicing dentist in the state for over 30 years, so this is something that's very exciting to me personally and professionally, as well as, you know, my new profession here at the state. And I just want to thank all of you for being here today, because this really is a very momentous occasion.
I'm Henry Lippin again, the Medicaid Director.
My name is Scott Westover. I'm the Market President for AmeriHealthcare Itasca, New Hampshire, one of the three MCOs serving the Medicaid population. Also excited to be here today. Certainly, when we think about oral health, dental health, it's part of the whole health picture, so very exciting day.
I'm Representative Jennifer Burnett from Wilton. I represent Hillsborough 4, and I'm a prime sponsor of HB 692. We brought this to being because I believe the time is now to get dental care to our Medicaid population.
Chris Kennedy, Vice President of External Relations for New Hampshire Healthy Families, also one of the state managed care organizations.
I'm Kelly Perry. I'm a general dentist and the dental director at Mid-State Health Center, an FQHC in central New Hampshire. I'm here to represent the public health dentists for the New Hampshire Dental Society.
I'm Laurel Dillon. I'm the acting oral health program director for Health and Human Services.
I'm Earl Simpson, executive director and dental director of SPS Dental Center.
I'm Nancy Rollins. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Easter Seals, and I am also a representative from the Medical Care Advisory Committee. Easter Seals also has a dental health clinic.
I'm Chris Batwater. I'm a dentist at Winnisquam Dental in the Lakes region. I'm representing the private practitioners. I am a Medicaid provider, and I typically only see kids, so I'm really excited to be here that once they come of age, they're not going to be this.
And I'm Dr. Dan Kana. I guess over 25 years ago now, I founded Northeast Mobile Dental Service to provide on-site care to nursing homes in the state. We've provided care to over 50 homes in the geriatric setting, and I'm here in hopes that we might someday be able to fund this better than we have been in the past.
Well, thank you. We had an agenda. Maybe so everybody on the table has that.
Can everyone find the agenda up on the table here?
Covered the welcome and introduction period here. In terms of the review of 692, it's really, you now have HB4 that is controlling, is my understanding of the legislation being passed in the budget, but basically HB4 affects what was in 692 with the addition of carrying the funding forward. Do people have questions about the legislation? The major provisions were to remove the prohibition against having an adult dental benefit. Also had the concept of a value-based dental benefit. Also talked about the various components that we need to address in coming up together with a plan to bring forward. The date in HB 692 for reporting was first date was October 1st. This legislation moves that up to January 1, I believe, is the date. I don't know if you have anything else, sir, that you want to highlight in terms of the legislation or sponsors here.
No, I think you hit the highlights. I think that, you know, we now have a really much more solid timeline to work with. So I appreciate that was good.
So we've created on the department website a place where we'll post all the materials so that everybody has equal access to them. tick that off already in terms of for this meeting. We also have an email account. One of the, I guess, the other things in terms of talking through a schedule that gets us to a point where we want to be for January 1, thought that we could meet on an every other week basis and cancel work we needed to. So just in terms of maybe just as a starting point from a logistics, since we have pretty good turnout at this time, not perfect, this is a time that we would like to use as a support for
when we're not in session, which we won't be.
So I guess we can put out a schedule that's based on this time carrying us forward through the end of December. Obviously, we won't do anything on Thanksgiving or Christmas. So in terms of thinking about how we might work through this as a sort of a logical kind of perspective, I guess I'd like to share this. Obviously, we'd like to have input on it. Sarah, please add in here. But I think in terms of, we obviously all know that need there's a need out there. But in terms of just working through this on a logical basis would be some initial discussion around what the needs and demands are with respect to this in terms of, so we can get some sense of how, what the forecast of the utilization would ultimately be. And we have some notes here that we took, so.
What I would say is that it's very important for us to really get a good idea of exactly what's going on in all the different regions of the state, because we know that the needs are slightly different. And the access issues may vary a little bit by region. So we'd really like to be able to get a very good environmental scan from each of your perspectives. And so over the next few weeks, we'll be reaching out to you to have really some specific answers for you and the group that you represent, the patients that you represent, the advocates that you're working on behalf of, so that we can really understand what is happening across the state.
So then I think you had talked about possibly bringing in someone to be able to speak to us.
We have an opportunity to have some folks come in from the Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, State Dental Association who work specifically in the Medicaid dental space. They should be able to help us really understand the different types of benefits that are available, what is going on across the country in different states, because every state truly has its own Medicaid benefit. And I think that they might be able to share some very helpful information for us in our, you know, leading towards our decision making. So we will continue to investigate that possibility. And for every single area that we're working on, reaching out to find any place that we can provide information that will be helpful to the group.
Sarah, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are you going to provide us with survey language that you want us to use so that we're all looking at the same thing?
You will all, yes, we will. And that's part of the reason that we needed to get the webpage up and running. I want to have a home space where all of those type of documents will live that we can share through the email. So yes, we will be getting something.
Okay, so we won't survey the members?
I will be in touch with all of you to really specify what it is that we're looking for.
We obviously want to get your input on the survey questions too. What was our next one?
Models of care.
Yeah, so there are different models of care. We can obviously learn from that group as well as participants around the table, and some of the value-based platforms that already exist out in other areas, and the various structures in which those are delivered, whether it be ASO, managed care, so on and so forth.
So would we be open to other experts to come in and talk to the groups,
so
other dental benefits administrators or whatever?
I think then that will ultimately lead us to the actual plan design options and then actuarial values and planning along those lines. And then following up with the necessary changes to state law so that we can do the benefit plan that we need to and be in compliance.
So
you had mentioned the group that Medicare, Medicaid, who focus on dental and oral health. Would you be able to provide a website information? I'm curious to see if there's literature there that if poured into would enable us to have a better sense so that when we do meet infrequently, we're better prepared.
Absolutely. I mean, that is my intent with having that webpage, is that documents and links will be posted there in advance of meetings so that everyone can be ready to go.
Sure.
And certainly, if any of you folks come across something that you feel would be valuable to the group, I would love for you to share that, because this really is a collaborative venture and we want input from all around.
So can you just share a little bit of your background in terms of national level and what you've been participating in?
For the last 4 years, I've been a member of the Medicaid, Medicare, CHIP Services Dental Association, and I was very privileged to serve as president for them for 2 years. I've been at numerous meetings with all of the other dental directors from across the United States, which is a wonderful thing to experience. It gives us the opportunity to share information about what we have, what we don't have, how we got to what we have, and those type of things, as well as meeting representatives from the different benefit managers that are out there today. And it's a good environment for really learning a lot about the changes that are coming through in oral health. And this is very important as we look at a value-based option. This is a paradigm shift for oral health. And so we need to work through this together so that everyone understands what that value-based care really means. I think we were going to give folks an opportunity to share a little bit today of what they may be facing from their particular organization, agency, facility, and then of course give the public time to comment as well. So
just in terms of just laying out sort of that as a work plan, does that seem reasonable? All right. So I'm not sure how we'd like to play that.
We can go around the table again. And
I don't have anything to
contribute. Well, I look at it as a different perspective. We really have nothing now. So we're going in a good direction. I don't know how we'll morph and end up. But, in our area, there's nothing for this population. So any of the outcome we have here is going to be a positive. In terms of our organization, we treat a large group of Medicaid adult recipients, and we try to bring them into a sliding fee scale and all that, so that would be actually, any type of benefit would be helpful for our organization because it would keep us in business longer. So that's always good news.
So when we think about the North Country, we work our way from Colebrook South. Union Stream is a community health center in Colebrook. To the best of my knowledge, they do not have any fixed site dentistry. They may have some capacity working with some local dentists, of which there are few. And then when we get to the Berlin-Gorham Co-op, County Family Health Services has a more recent fixed site. I would say it's relatively nascent, probably 2 to 3 years old. I think they're leaning in probably to 5 chairs. And then when you get down to us in Littleton, we have 6 care delivery sites, 26 towns, 30,000 residents. We see 11,000 patients, 40,000 encounters, about 1,000, 1,200 dental patients per year, 5 operatories. We pull about 1,000 teeth a year. And we've been doing this for about 5 years. So again, it's still pretty nascent. This is still a learning experience for us. As we've looked moving over those 5 years, we're seeing fewer teeth pulled per patient seen. I have a very Pollyanna perspective of a hypothesis that I hope is true, is that we're starting to fill more than we're pulling, and we're the ones that we're filling, we're hoping we're getting them into hygiene. And that is a very big challenge for us, that our highest no-show rate is in the hygiene, bordering on 25% no-show rate, compared to our medical patients whose no-show is about 10%. Almost no percent when it hurts and it needs to be pulled. So the upside is we're able to get people from the emergency department. We keep a morning and afternoon slot to get someone into a chair. So if the hospital that you see decreased use of a scheduled medication and an antibiotic, I think that's better stewardship of both of those occurrences. We have not been able to look to see if once someone comes to us, do they stop going to the ED, because please just call us. You don't need to go to the ED to get back to us again. And I would echo what you said, is that this lets us leverage limited federal dollars to continue. It's very difficult for us to keep up. As an aside, the state loan repayment program is very important for us in recruiting, as is the National Health Service Corps to recruit people in the community. And lastly, and as well as Mid-State, we're part of a National Health Service Corps workforce development grant. Bob can speak to it. We see 3 dental students per year from the University of New England. We also have relationships with AT Still in Arizona. And I'm aware of at least one dentist who I believe is still practicing at Mountain View Dental in Whitefield. So it did what it was supposed to, which was to get people excited about rural practice and stay within that New England framework. So this is a nice move in the right direction on what it's going to look like. And to help our sustainability, the most difficult thing we've ever done is the most expensive thing. And I feel some days somewhere between Dante's Hell and Don Quixote is, depending on the hour, how I feel about our dental program.
So from our perspective at Delta Dental, I've said this before when we were working on our San Bernardino bill, that our board tasked us with helping get an adult dental Medicaid benefit as part of our underlying mission to improve oral health care in New Hampshire. And so I think from our perspective, we obviously bring a lot of expertise around the administration and working with the providers. We obviously have the biggest provider network in New Hampshire. We have an ease of administration that I think could be useful. We are prepared to work with the MCOs, no worries, Scott. We all go back as well to the hospital world. But I just wanted to note all the things that Dr. Finney was just talking about. So in terms of where the need is, of course, the Delta Dental Foundation, and so we have lots and lots and lots of data on where the need is in the state. We have an actuary on staff who is available if you need those type of resources. And none of this, from our board's perspective, has anything to do with who ultimately administers it. That absolutely has nothing to do with it. Our board would have us here whether we were not considering any type of managed care. Meetings, thing, if you need it. We obviously have programs. We have a subsidiary called Provisor that has a risk assessment, clinical risk assessment, the only one in the country that is very useful with value-based payment, and that's proven. And a fair number of other state dental Medicaid programs are using it, like in Iowa. We have the network, as I said, and I just think from our perspective, we're looking at our overall strategy, which goes to our mission, which is improving the oral health care of the community, our strategic philanthropy. So we just did a donation for the Easter Seals Dental Clinic we want them to keep their doors open, and the way we posted to our board was it's a bridge to the adult Medicaid dental benefit that we are working on. And then our advocacy, which is why we're here. So that's how we're focused from a mission perspective, and just really grateful that we're included.
As I said, my name is Amy Gerard, and I'm here representing FCAC. I'm a parent representative here. And I come at this actually from 2 angles. One, I have a daughter that experiences a developmental disability, and she is right now only 12, but she will grow to be an adult, so that is something that I am very concerned about having her have access to preventative care. Her preventative care is great right now because she's under the Medicaid program. But as she gets older, I do worry that, and I want to make sure that she has access to care, to preventative care. I want to make sure that the elderly have, and by different hat, I'm a social worker, social work representative for nursing homes, and I want to make sure that the elderly also have access to preventative dental care, and make sure that this access is not only access for transportation, but it's also access for people that have sensory needs. My daughter experiences a condition called Angelman syndrome, and it's very difficult sometimes to get her into see the dentist. People with autism experience difficulties with sometimes going into the dentist. So to make sure that the dental care and providers are well trained with people with disabilities, autism, Angelman syndrome, the wide variety of disabilities that people may experience, but also people with dementia. I think that if we're talking about access to care, we're going to have to make sure that people are educated in terms of what approaches work best with people with disabilities and people with dementia, making sure that everyone across the country in all ages have the access to care that they need.
So I think from a policy perspective, the more cost-effective way to manage care, to have a dental benefit where you can reimburse people for services that they provide so that they can continue to provide those services. I also think that now we have an educational opportunity, not just for providers, but also patients, so that you can reduce the 25% no-show rate because people will learn that there's a place to turn and it's not just having their teeth, which is important and will take time, I would guess. I think it's also important that we look at an integrated care model, as I mentioned earlier, because your mouth is tied to everything. We're now seeing it tied to substance use disorder, access to substance use disorder treatment, how people are mitigating their pain and managing their pain, and it's a dental benefit is a good way, as I mentioned, to use scarce dollars to, and it's cost effective. So the other thing that I wanted to mention is that we have health centers, as Ed mentioned, across the state, but they all have different models. And I think it's important to acknowledge that we don't have to end care at 18 now. And that's also an educational opportunity, starting with kids and their school-based dental program and mobile programs. And Stephanie, my colleague from Bi-State, wanted me to remind you that we also have a conference on value-based dental benefits in November. You are all welcome to come. And what it is that Bi-State is a DentaQuest grantee, and so we're partnering with the states in New England to host a dental conference on value-based payment models.
And I will
November 18th.
I will post that on our webpage. Okay. So, and I have a few copies of it.
As I said, my name is Scott Westover, and the Merrill Caritas, when we were selected to become the third MCO in New Hampshire, one of the things that we decided to do out of the gate was bring an adult dental benefit to Medicaid. And we're self-funding a benefit today, and we offer preventative care, restorations, periodontal care. The reason we made that commitment is, as I mentioned earlier, there is the clear link between oral health and overall health status. And we believe to be the best possible fiduciary to the state, but more importantly, to meet the long-term needs of our members, we needed to have access to oral health. And we made that commitment. And one of the things I think that we can do as part of this working group is bring what we're learning from early exposure to adult participation among the Medicaid population in dental care in New Hampshire. So we are more than happy to share in real time any data that we gain, our experiences. I know a lot of times we try to wait for things to run out and data takes a long time. In this case, I think it's worth sharing in the spirit of being a true working partner what we're learning in real time. We can talk about what is our no-show rate experience, what is the feedback from the provider community who has signed on to our dental network. And by the way, if you're interested in signing on to the dental network, we were more than happy to talk to you if you haven't done so already. But there is an opportunity there to, I think, inform this program that's based on what's happening among a subset of the adult Medicaid population in New Hampshire in our home state today, and look forward to sharing that information.
I'm Representative Jennifer Burnett. I introduced this bill. I have my day job is actually as a clinical social worker, so another social worker at the table. And also I have a son who experiences a developmental disability, and I'm very in contact with the disability population, and I see people where lack of oral health care affects them on every level of their health, of their well-being, socially, physically, and on all levels. And I think that it would be resources well spent for them and for us to access to those.
Chris Kennedy with New Hampshire Open Families, again, also one of the state's MCOs. You know, I really plan to spend most of the time here listening. I don't know that I have much novel to add at the onset of this, other than it's really important for us, no matter what model we have ultimately look at and adopt, that we're finding the most constructive ways to partner with the providers and with our members to ensure that the members that we're currently now serving in a physical and behavioral health capacity get the care that they need. Right setting, right time, as Henry reiterated earlier. We do have our parent company, Centene, does have a sister company, Evolve Health, that does administer dental benefits in, I think, 15 states. So we do come at this with some experience, and I look forward to the opportunity to offer some color of that experience to the group when appropriate. But like I said, looking forward to spending a lot of time listening and understanding, I think not necessarily the scope of the need, because I think that's evident, but again, how we can serve and collaborate with the providers at the table to ultimately administer a successful benefit.
I think it was Sedwell over there that, you know, right now we have nothing, and this is exciting that we might have something. I don't know if you need us to paint a colorful picture of the need. Hopefully everyone is aware, but it is out there. Our health center started a dental clinic around the same time that Ed's clinic started 5 years ago. The region I work in central New Hampshire had not had a dentist in 20 years. So that population not only needs the dental work, but needs the education about, you know, the connection to their oral health and their quality of life and what services are available. We still, 5 years later, see an extremely high volume of emergency cases every day. In my morning that I worked this morning, I saw 4 add-on emergencies to extract teeth, because the patients are adults with Medicaid, and that is all they can afford, is to come and see me when they have an emergency that warrants an extraction. We, like was mentioned, offer a sliding scale to try to mitigate that and try to help patients that are underinsured. About half of our practice is uninsured and underinsured adults, so any benefit to help these adults will help us keep our doors open to keep doing this important work. The need is there for the vulnerable populations that were mentioned, the elderly population, adults with disabilities, our adult patients in recovery from substance use disorders. And it's amazing to me how often I'm doing full mouth extractions on patients 20 to 30 years old with not a great solution for replacing their teeth. And those patients are gonna have a hard time being healthy, you know, working members of our state. So I think in terms of connecting this to systemic health and overall well-being, is just so apparent that the need is there, and we can do such good with being able to get more adults into to see us and get our services. So I'm happy to provide as much evidence as to the need as everyone wants to hear, but I mean, I can say with great confidence that it is there, and our residents in New Hampshire can greatly benefit from whatever benefit we can create for them.
So from the perspective of the oral health program, we receive state and federal funding to help supplement programs like Kelly's, so they can continue to see these patients. Unfortunately, it's not a huge amount, so it doesn't go very far. So certainly a benefit like a value-based care model would allow us to utilize those funds in a more extensive way, increase our reach, be able to address these various populations that are in need right now. So for me, this could paint a whole other picture about how I distribute the funding that we get to help subsidize these programs.
everybody else, I'm here to listen and get involved. As you can see, I'm not a very good public speaker. Architects a little bit different. We don't have FQHC for 501c3, so we do have fee for service, but our rates are extremely reduced. We do also a lot of program work. We do a lot of surgery on adults, and then help them out to do removable appliances or fixed appliances later. It's patient per patient. Although I'm always the pessimist, as Steve said, it's good to see you here. We've got something which we had nothing before. Sometimes something can back, from my standpoint, from my way our system is, I'm hesitant. I want this to happen. I want to see right off the bat how it's going to affect us in our clinic. But like I said, I'm anxious to work with everybody and get it done. Thank you.
So first of all, from the MCAC perspective, Medical Care Advisory Committee, most of the people around this table are represented on the MCAC. We haven't had any formal discussions yet, really, about a dental benefit. But I will share with you Easterseals' experience. We currently have 5 chairs. We are a heavily subsidized program. We are eternally grateful to Delta Dental and certainly many others. I have data that was prepared actually for when this bill was going through, so it's up through May of 2019, but I will bring the statistical information fast forward. We serve both adults and children. We're actively involved in the Greater Manchester area with many partners, certainly Amiskey Health and others. There's a mobile children's van that goes to schools to preventative dental care. We're very involved with that. We also have the ability to service our own residential treatment program that is also in Manchester for adolescents. Certainly our adults, we touch upon people with all disabilities. We see clients from the Farnham Center, people who have substance abuse, severely affected teeth as a result of methamphetamines and all of the other kinds of exacerbating problems with teeth and so forth. Our seniors, seniors in the community, and also veterans. We have utilized funds through our philanthropic branch with Veterans Count, and we have actually had 2 free veterans clinic days. We work very closely with the VA. So point in time, through actually May of 2019, we served 2,106 adults, and we saw 902 children. Of the adults, 19% were commercial insurance, 33% were Medicaid, and 48% were self-pay. So obviously the Medicaid for adults involves some kind of extraction. We do preventative work, restorative work. We have a Pinarex machine. It's a totally involved dental clinic. The one thing we do not do that at some point I think we will need to look at and work with the disability community on is there are some individuals in the disability community who, in order to have their dental work completed, they have to have anesthesia. And so frequently that involves working closely with a hospital or medical clinics, because any medical professional will say that if we're going to do that, let's see if there are other medical procedures that perhaps may need to be done at the same time, so that we're not compromising this individual. But there certainly are a number of those individuals in this community. I think the other thing I'd like to say is that since for so long there has not been dental benefit, and of course any good actuarial, and I know Delta Dental has this information as well, but people who are coming to us have not had good dental care for a substantial period of time. So it goes well beyond the preventative and cleanings and whatever. We're really in the deep end of restoration and so forth. So we're going to need to keep that in mind in terms of ramping up both the payment structure and what this benefit's going to look like. Yes.
So I appreciate that we've already spoken to vulnerable populations. I can't reiterate that enough. Including pregnant women, special needs, our elders, and disabled adults. And I almost hate to even call the benefit at this point at what we have. I don't think obstructions are a benefit. I think that's too late. So then I think about my patients in my practice. We're really good at getting kids in. I mean, we're even doing prenatal visits now. And so if we're thinking about throughout a lifetime, the data show that when mom goes to the dentist, she's going to bring her kids to the dentist, and then those kids are going to bring their kids to the dentist. So I think the connection across the family is hugely important. I think, Earl, I'll piggyback on what you said. I have a couple concerns, though, that yes, something is better than nothing, and I am very excited this day has finally come. But I think this, as we look forward, we need to be thoughtful about, it's not enough to have a benefit and have a patient in need. It's about getting that patient to the benefit. We need to be thoughtful about care coordination and patient navigators to ensure that these people have so much on their plates right now, and it's not enough that you have an appointment at 10 o'clock. It's how are you going to get to that appointment? How are you going to get childcare for your kids so you can get to the appointment? And just all these little nuanced coordination tips to make sure that this program is successful. So that's from the patient perspective. And then also from the provider perspective, having some sort of network development where there's a touch point for the providers where we have an opportunity to meet and to engage even annually to ensure that we have a strong network. Our network is aging, not me. So that we're recruiting and keeping a strong network and making sure that that the providers' needs are being met too. So those are two thoughts that I want to make sure that we bring forward.
So speaking of age, not just the population I work with, I think it was about 30 years ago, maybe a little less, that Phil Soule, who was the director of Medicaid back then, brought me to the state to talk about dental care for nursing homes. There was a thing called OBRA in 1987, which mandated dental care in nursing homes and gave it a little more focus. And I was doing nursing homes and geriatrics in upstate New York in Vermont. And I think Phil had got my name from the dental. I was advised, a fellow in geriatric dentistry, and there wasn't a lot of us back then. And Phil had brought me over to talk about some different options. And one of which was the one we were currently using in New York State, which was a capitated type program for the nursing home setting. So it's like so much per day, per patient. If we give the dentist this, can we entice the dentist to come in and do stuff? He liked that idea. It was something he put in place. Back then, there was a federal match for it. Somehow it worked where it really didn't cost the state that much. Anyway, that got washed aside, or it was no longer a separate line item for us to come into the nursing homes, get paid a set amount, but the nursing homes kept us despite that. So a little history on that, but what I'd like to really bring to the table here is the fact that I have experience in three different states and three different programs. And New York State has, it's a freebie state. They have high taxes and they have high services. They have adult Medicaid benefits, and they have a separate program for nursing homes where it's a capitated amount because they realize you can't be fee-for-service in a nursing home and produce on the same level. If you're working bedside or an elderly person, you can't produce fast enough to make the numbers matter. But what's interesting, what I see over there, is when a patient has had an adult benefit his whole life, that person doesn't come into the nursing home after 30 years of neglect. So those people over there, by the time they get to the nursing home setting, their mouth is in somewhat decent shape or has the opportunity to. If it isn't, it has been their choice, not so much a pain in the ass. My company also provides service in Vermont. And Vermont's an interesting situation because they do have an adult benefit, but it's a $500 limit. $500, and their fee structure is pretty decent, but $500 doesn't get you very far. It doesn't cover dentures, it does cover extractions, it covers a lot of things, where I'm going with this is I see the parallel with Vermont and New Hampshire, and that my people that are in the facilities in New Hampshire who haven't had an adult benefit for 30 years come in pretty rough shape, and with what the nursing homes are generous enough to provide us to come in and stamp out fires, we certainly can't restore a person's mouth over 30 years of neglect. I see a similar type of patient in Vermont because the $500 limit doesn't get you too much more than a couple of exams and cleanings. And on a bigger scale, and I think this would go a long way in the nursing home setting, is somehow getting a very consistent hygiene component. I'm fortunate enough to have a hygienist come into some of my facilities, which facilities blatantly outright pay for a dime. I explained to her that this is what it costs to get a hygiene, and it's not like we're making any money on this. And I have a wonderful person that comes in, does bedside cleaning, fluoride. If every nursing home had a couple of hygienists in weekly, bi-weekly, it would go a long way towards helping not only the oral care, but as many of you mentioned, the systemic issues that go along with that. So, hopefully, my interest or knowledge in three different programs, as well as 30 years of providing on-site care, maybe provide some insight.
Dr. Mallard?
Yes.
Would you like to share what your perspective might be as an oral surgeon?
Sorry I was late. I was trying to navigate myself through the streets of Concord and Carthage. Someone informed me that it was going to be New York City. But I did find my parking space. Sorry I'm late. My name is Salman Malik. I'm a private practitioner. I'm an oral surgeon. I'm a licensed dentist in the state of New Hampshire. I'm also a licensed physician. I did my surgery in New York. I've been here for about 20 years. I'm a past member of the Board of Dental Examiners. So I have some experience in terms of treating patients who need emergency care. A couple of things I wanted to, I heard about the navigation part. That kind of struck a chord because for patients, the navigation for private clinicians isn't there in the state of New Hampshire. And by that I mean just the institutional part of the Medicaid system. I've been on and off over the years, participated with Medicaid, and I let them go not because I wasn't getting compensated, because it was just so difficult to navigate. And it was so difficult to get approvals. And going through the process of getting things approved by someone who didn't understand what I was going to do. Half the cases that I see should be done in a hospital setting. I see more and more patients that are in their 80s and 90s. Just this morning, I saw a gentleman who was about 80 plus, needed a tooth out that was kind of touch and go, but I had to do it in the office. I saw a 29-year-old consult this morning. She needs 27 teeth out, which we'll be scheduling. She wants to have implants, which is a dream for her, which we'll try to work out, but now you're looking at $60,000 to $70,000 worth of work by the time you finish. So how does that work? It doesn't. So you either do it because you want to do it or you don't do it. So we'll do something for her, because I don't want to see a 29-year-old woman, which what I'm going to be doing is incapacitating her mouth forever in a way, because she has no choice and I have no choice. None of us have any choice. My suggestion would be is, in working with this group and in trying to get this bill to become a reality the way it should be, is you need more private clinicians in this group. I see a lot of institutions, a lot of nonprofit, all good work. We need that. But half the terms I heard, I couldn't follow you guys. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's as a private practitioner. You know your data? I don't know what that data is. If Delta Dental wants to help, I think that's great. What I would ask Delta Dental to do is the board that's helping, have their board members, have their CEO, give half their money. Because if I'm going to give half my time, I want you to give your money to this process also. It shouldn't be unilateral. It needs to be a team effort. And so I may not make many friends here, if need be, but if you want this reality to come to fruition, you've got to work at it. And if it's going to be like this in this institution, I can tell you, none of the dentists are going to agree with you. They're going to say, okay, fine, do what you need to do. I'll help, and I'm going to spread the word. But in order to get the work done by these dentists in private practices, you have to understand where they're coming from. And you have to get them involved. They're not involved in this. None of them knew. When I called, no one had any idea in the private world. So if you want their help and their assistance, which I think is essential, and we all want to help, we need to get them involved. So that's my concern.
Dr. Mallard, the commissioner and Medicaid director, that was one of the points that the commissioner made up front in terms of he couldn't be here for another emergency reason, but as in terms of getting the network to participate, getting dentists at large, not just some segment of it to participate, is an important objective.
I think they will. I really think there are many dentists out there who want to help because they see the need, and it's not about money. I'm telling you, the compensation part is not the issue here. It's the access, and it's the ease in getting this process done for their office. So if they see an adult patient who needs care, they need to do the job. They need to understand very black and white, okay, we can do certain things, and we don't need to go through the red tape to get it done. We're just going to get it done and submit it, and then Medicaid, the office, will take care of it. I've had very good experience with the personnel at the Medicaid office in the past, and when I didn't is when not because it was them, it was the process. So that's all I'm suggesting is you're going to hear that again and again and again. And we can talk about it till we're blue in the face, but unless that issue is addressed, ain't nothing going to happen in the world of dentistry. I can guarantee you.
Thank you.
Any other members of the committee come in, task force come in?
Can I just make one comment? I think it's important. So Vermont, just this last session, increased their adult benefit from 500 to 1,000, and that's exclusive of Preventive. So that's important to know, because it might be worth looking. And Vermont also pulled together a task force like this, and a lot of dentists on that, and they're all talking about how to best administer, you know, how to best use that in a value-based way. So just, it might be worth just looking, just as they're right there, what they're doing.
Thank you.
Wanted to give an opportunity for folks here that aren't on the task force to have a chance to add some comments. One hand up in the back. Okay. You can identify yourself and who you're with.
I'm Amber Kutcher. I'm representing Janet Latch and Whitney Good for Greater Seacoast Community Health. So that includes Goodwin Community Health and Families First Health Center. So from my perspective, what Chris Blackwelder was saying was the access to care for our health center. I know we're giving out a lot of bus passes and transportations, paying for taxis, that type of thing, to really get our patients to come in for their appointments. We are experiencing the same, about a 25% no-show rate for hygiene. And childcare is also an issue, so we do have the childcare services within our health center. And we also have mobile dental services. We have a mobile van at St. Vincent's de Paul, and because Families First is so close to Crossroads and transitional housing, patients are able to get there through the bus route and bikes that the organization provides. But for organizations that are further away, it is difficult for our patients to come to our facilities.
Thank you.
Other individuals would like to speak? Yes.
Hi, I'm Chris McCracken from Mountain State Health. We have the pleasure of working with Poisson and Easter Seals. We get a federal grant that we use to purchase services from our peers in the room. So I've been a mini Delta Dental for, a decade plus now, and watching those dollars go out. And we look at the treatment plan, and we approve the treatment plan. And the average patient is about $2,500. It was about $1,500, so about 3 years or 4 years ago when we added the ability for them to get their dentures taken care of, because we had so many of these same patients with removal of 20 plus teeth and an inability to work. But so I have a couple of big concerns. Number one is a cap that is potentially going to limit a reasonable treatment plan, and my second is the number of our patients that are due for ortho, cardiac, prenatal services and can't get them because they haven't had their dental care and some sort of emergency reasonable process to get people who have urgent medical needs urgent access to care when there could be a massive expense related to addressing the dental issues.
So just somewhere in this planning process, I'm not in your committee, but I'd just love to have you talk about those pathways as well. That would be really helpful. And I just know interpretation is a great challenge. Our patients speak 62 languages. And for our partners who are kind enough to take them, and thank you both very much, they're both in the room, it's really hard. The dental interpreter has to be there for hours, and the expense is really cost prohibitive. So if that could be factored in as well. So those are just a couple of things to think about, to add to your list of fun things you're going to be thinking about.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mary Vasquez. I'm a general dentist, and I'm the clinical director at Catholic Medical Center's Pecan Dental Facility. I was one of two dentists on the original oral health plan, quite a few years, almost 20 years ago. And I have to say that I'm very excited that we're at this point. We had a vision back then about what we could bring to oral health in the state of New Hampshire, and the need was so huge. And I think we've done an excellent job, and I think it's nice to take a moment and reflect how far we have come and that we are sitting here in this room. I've heard all of the challenges that we face in Manchester every day. As part of the healthcare institution, we have seen the ravages of the opioid epidemic, particularly in Manchester. And we routinely see 20-year-olds who need full mouth extractions. And on top of that, also have had issues with endocarditis, potentially need valves replaced. And so from my perspective, that piece of the puzzle really needs to be addressed and looked at. We really need to look at how substance use disorders have shaped the adult community, at least where I practice in Manchester. I also would say that my training at Tufts, I did an extra year, and I did special needs dentistry for a year. And there are so few dentists who are able to take care of patients who have special needs. And I think we really need to look at that, look at training, look at education opportunities. You know, it's a little bit beyond the scope of this project, but we need to make sure that they're trained to go into a hospital, that they're comfortable with OR dentistry. And I think we really need to address that issue as we go forward. But we have all the challenges that Chris and everyone else in the room has brought up in terms of interpretation and funding. And I'm lucky to work in a place that has realized that oral health is part of overall health since the 1980s. So I really give Catholic Medical Center a huge, huge amount of credit for realizing that early on and being part of the solution from the beginning.
Thank you. Okay. So just to recap, work on a schedule that at least we'll have on the schedule being every other week this time that we had today. We're going to start by bringing in information on trying to forecast what the demand would be as part of building up a benefit and trying to cost it out. We're going to need to have that type of information. We're going to try to get the Medicaid CHIP.
Right. We'll try to line up special guests, for lack of a better way to describe it. So I would say, you know, check the website from time to time. You will also get information from me as soon as we have the schedule developed for future meetings. And I will definitely be sending out updates on a regular basis just to let you know when something has changed on the web page.
Then look at some various models, both from the administrative and the delivery standpoint. And then obviously that will all culminate in some actuarial work to have a specific plan design and costing, as well as if there are any other legislative changes that we need to enable a benefit to be implemented. So that's kind of what we have on tap, and thank you for taking the time to come here, and thank you. I'm sure most of you were advocates in helping get this passed. Thank you for your work to do that as well. And, we'll be in touch, and if you haven't, there's a sign-in sheet in here. So we don't have your contact information.